We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
The final out has been made. Let's talk about what just happened, the good and the bad. It's time for the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove, with the franchise, Tim Allen, on The Fan. If you need doors and windows, go to PellaWI.com.
It is a final from Atlanta, and what a difference a day makes as the Brewers fall in game two of this three-game set. 8-1 the final. Welcome in, everybody. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Post-game show driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Ouch. And ugly. And, chaos there in that sixth inning for Woody. And C.B. Buckner. That's who's in charge here, and he's going to let everybody know about that. Home plate umpire missed a call there against Dansby Swanson. And, the next pitch, it always seems like it goes that way. You miss a call in a big spot, and the next pitch, somebody makes you pay for that, or they take advantage of that. I guess you could put it that way. But the Brewers fall 8-1. And I don't think it's just clearly on that call there in that situation. I think this comes down to the Brewers' offense just was given opportunity after opportunity to come up with some big hits. They just never got them. They never got the big hits here. And Atlanta is a tough customer offensively. And you're going to need to take advantage of situations with runners aboard. Two on, one out. Again, two on, one out. Lead off walk. Can't move them around. You can't, with two outs later, then you get a man on. Now there's two on, two outs. And you just can't come up with that hit. That's where really this game was lost. And against a left-hander in Mueller, the report was a bunch of nonsense. Oh, that's the other Mueller report. This Mueller report was good. He was pretty good against the Brewers. Minimized any sort of damage that was done. Manny Pena had the sole RBI on a fielder's choice. But, against lefties, you see a right-handed heavy lineup for the Brewers. And namely, a guy like Rowdy Tellez and Omar Narvaez do not get starts against lefties. Is that the way to go for Craig Counsell? The team doesn't fare very well against left-handers. And that being said, maybe it's because you don't allow these guys to get a spot start once in a while. I don't think, and I will say this, I don't think Craig Counsell is ever going to change his ways with lefty-righty splits. It's just he's too set in that pattern to really go across the board or go against the grain, I should say. And that is giving Omar a spot start or two against a left-hander. I mean, Colton Wong plays every day. Righty-lefty, it doesn't matter. Christian Yelich plays every day. Righty-lefty, it doesn't matter. Now, maybe they're on a different level of a guy like Rowdy Tellez and Omar Narvaez. But when these guys are rolling hot, my goodness. I mean, maybe give them the opportunity. Scooter Jeanette told me many years ago that, hey, the reason lefties under Craig Counsell and under the Brewers don't hit lefties is because they don't play against lefties. The only way to hit if you're a left-handed hitter against a left-hander is you actually have to play and get some ABs. So I just wonder if that might be the case moving forward, if Craig Counsell is going to occasionally give these guys some opportunities against left-handers, because let's face it, I mean, Rowdy Tellez has been rolling hot. I think you take advantage of that. Omar Narvaez has been arguably your best hitter, or at least most consistent hitter, the entire season. And I'm just wondering, maybe get these guys in there. Now we get to a missed call in that sixth inning. this is going to bring up the conversation of robo-umps and electronic umpiring. Now, again, we haven't had that conversation in quite some time. They've experimented with it. I'm not a big fan of replay, so I don't know if this is inconsistent or not. You know, I'm not a big fan of, you know, guys missing calls in pivotal situations, and I'm not quite sure what C.B. Buckner was looking at there. Bill Schroeder on Bally Sports Wisconsin made the comment that, you know, how do you miss the call? You're set up on that side of the plate. You're right over the top of that call. Clearly a strike. And Woody and counsel did let him have it a little bit. But a call like that does change a game. And you saw in the next pitch, Swanson takes him out for a two-run home run. It seems like it always happens that way. But would you guys be interested in that making sure you get it right kind of deal? I'll tell you what I'd do. I'm probably against, maybe a little bit leaning against the robo-umps, the electronic umpiring, on balls and strikes. I'm leaning against that a little bit. But I'll tell you what I'd do, and I've said this for years also, for 16 years of doing this show. When you have a deplorable call, or you have a guy that's just missing and they're blatant missed calls, the video is on its way to the league office and I'm telling the teacher on this guy. I mean, that's all you can do. You do it privately. You don't announce to the media. You don't announce to everybody that you're doing this because it's going to seem like you're whining a little bit. But you do send the video. Your video department will rack up those videos and you send them in and say, hey, dude, just want to let you know one of your employees is doing this. It's been known to happen. Guys, it has. Well, that's the only thing I would say on, you know, calls like that because it does make a difference. We all know that this game was intensifying. That's the disappointing thing on this. This game was intensifying to the feel of a playoff game. It's one zip throughout the early portion. The Braves get it tied up at 1-1. You're getting Woody at the tail end of his outing. He's trying to muscle his way through. This is, you know, 1-1. We're going to turn things over to the bullpen. Whoever scratches out a run or two is going to get this victory. And then you miss a call like that. That's so disappointing. That part of this game for me was extremely disappointing. Now, again, I'm not going to pin it all on that call. Woody, I think, I won't say struggled, but just not a standard Brandon Woodruff outing. And the pitch count worked way too high early. There was some, and credit these guys for fouling off some good pitches, but they weren't chasing as well. And Woody had said it a couple of months ago that, it, you know, one of the big corners that he turned was wants to get aggressive. I'm fine. You want to get the ball in play? Get the ball in play. That keeps my pitch count down. I'm going to go deeper into a game. And I think in this case here tonight, he wasn't missing by much, but they were not chasing anything out of the zone. And I think that worked up his pitch count a little bit, and that did shorten his outing. Again, this is the worst it gets for, you know, for Woody. I mean, they're in great shape. You want to respond on any of the above, 414-799-1250 as the Brewers fall in game two of this three-game set. It does set up a huge game tomorrow, guys. It does. And I think that, those of us scoreboard watching now that it's August, your next game is going to be in August. That's tomorrow. The Reds and Mets are tied in the 10th. And that was as of 5 minutes ago when I jumped on the air here. So we'll give that an update as well. We are live here in the Lakeland University studios with online learning at 7 locations throughout the state of Wisconsin. Learn on your terms, lakeland.edu, 414-799-1250 as the Brewers fall 8-1. And one, you know, sometimes these games are going to get away from you. And that's the case in point here. Not a good debut for John Curtis as they acquired him at the trade deadline yesterday. He allows the grand slam to Swanson. Swanson, a career night, a couple of home runs, seven RBIs, seven of the eight knocked in by Swanson. So John Curtis gets into a bunch of trouble. However, Daniel Norris, a nice performance in his debut. And then we get to the COVID situation. And those of you that have been listening the last couple of days, Polish Pipe Bomb Jeff Orlowski joins me here. Jeff, I've been talking about, you know, not only versatility coverage with the addition of some of these players, it is also covering for injuries. It's covering for guys that go into a slump. But it's also now covering for COVID, and it's what I've said the last couple of days. It's okay to say it. You're just covering your tail on some COVID positives, and that's what happened today. Three of them, Jake Cousins, Hunter Strickland, and Yandel Gustave, all went on the COVID IL. And so I think in that regard, when you have strength in numbers, you are covered for some of this, Jeff.
Yeah, absolutely. And what great timing. You know, you bring in the two guys that you just got at the trade deadline just when you lose three relievers. So it worked out pretty good. Obviously, you don't want to lose your guys to COVID or for any reason, but, you know, it could have been worse. It was pretty good timing that they had these guys coming in.
It doesn't appear that there were any symptoms here. It's just some positive tests. So, you know, they'll get through this as, you know, Christian Yelich and Jace Peterson still on that COVID IL. So that being said, there's five right there, Pipe Bomb. And I would say that, you know, if you get upwards of another two, three, four, five more, I think you're in jeopardy of getting some games canceled. Would you agree with that?
I think so. Obviously, you know, let's hope it doesn't come to that. If I'm Craig Counsell, I've got Lorenzo Cain, who's been red hot since he's come off the IL.
Willie Adames.
Yeah, Wong. I got these guys in bubbles. And, you know,
that's right.
I got four dudes around each one roping them off, you know, as they walk through the stadium to make sure that these guys stay healthy.
Yeah, but those four in particular, maybe even throw in Omar in there as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Burns and Freddie, they're all in their separate little shrink wrap over here because, again, there's going to be some flare-ups here, and the good news is, like most large percentages of COVID positives, there's just no symptoms. You just get it, and you work through it, and that's that. So wish the best for those guys for sure. 799-1250. The electronic umpiring on balls and strikes. I mean, this rears its head every time somebody misses a call and a pivotal call in a crucial situation right there. I don't know how these guys do it on two fronts. Number one, umpiring is a challenge. I mean, it is. Now, their percentage, if you go on the percentages, they are very good at what they do in terms of percentages. But it does make you scratch your head how you miss a call like this. This part of it is just strange to me. And again, I like the human element of baseball. I don't like the replay in any way. You guys, I'm very transparent on that. Just not a big fan of any replay in any sport. You just leave it go. But then, you know, you get calls like this and you start double thinking yourself. And you're like, maybe they should get it right. And I'm wondering if this is a little bit different than instant replay would be the ball strike recognition.
I don't know. You know, it sucks when the calls don't go your way, and you're right. It always seems like a blown call is immediately followed by a homer or something, you know, that really stings. But, you know, I'm not a fan of replay either. And the way that these guys get judged, where it's, you know, oh, did he take his foot off the bag at second for, you know, at second base
right.
for, you know, just a fraction of a second and all this kind of stuff. You know, it's not what replay was meant to do. It was meant to do the egregious ones. Like the one play that cost that guy a perfect game a handful of years ago.
Galarraga in Detroit. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, stuff like that, not this ticky-tack, you know, one-eighth of a quarter of an inch, you know.
But see, here might be the difference between the replay and the ball strike recognition electronics. There would be no debate whatsoever.
But there still is, because, like, you know, and yes, it's still a work in progress, but with the way that they're trying it now down in the lower levels, you know, there's been pitches, like, right down the middle that have been called balls, and there's been balls that are, you know, a foot and a half outside that have been called strikes. So that thing's not perfect either.
Okay, yeah, and I would have to get some data on that, too, because, I mean, if it's dead on 100%, then I would be probably leaning a heavy lean toward it. But if it's like instant replay, where you still have some debate here, well, maybe the lace or the tip of the glove, or as you said, a fraction of a second, the guy's foot pops off the base and the glove is still on his back or his belly. I mean, that part of it, yeah, I can live without.
See,
but if it's 100% accurate, shouldn't we want it then?
Yeah, if it's 100% accurate, yes. But, you know, part of the problem is Major League Baseball. And the fact that they, you know, they've had horrible umpires like Angel Hernandez and Joe West and all these guys.
And Buckner is pretty bad, too, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, they sit there and they make these awful calls game after game after game. Year after year after year, decade after decade, and nothing happens to these guys.
That's why I would send the video into the every chance I get when I think someone is not doing their job. Ryan Braun, that was his big thing. When an umpire was having a rough night, you could read lips. Everyone could read lips over the years with Brawny. Do your
effing job.
He would put that word in there. But do your job. You could read his lips. Do your job. I don't know how C.B. Bucknor missed that call today. I just don't. Did he blink at the wrong time? Did he?
Maybe a fly flew up his nose. Who knows?
I mean, I don't know. And really a cool game. This was a tale of two games. This was a playoff game for half a game and then a runaway the other half.
Yeah.
That's what it was. And that's, for me, where the disappointment is. You know, you lose this game 2-1. Because someone scratches across a run off a tough reliever. You know, I get that part. And that's where this game was headed. You know, maybe the Brewers scratch across a run with against Will Smith, or someone pops a solo shot in the top of the ninth inning, whatever it might be. That's the disappointing part. I mean, 8-1, I guess it's a little easier to handle for me, an 8-1 loss, than it would be a 3-1, 2-1 on a bad call. You know, because, you know, if this thing stood 3-1, I'd be much more upset. But it didn't. I mean, that was his last inning anyway.
Right.
So, all right, let's squeeze in Todd here. 414-799-1250 before the break. Todd, what's going on?
Howdy, boys. Thank you, Timmy, for getting me in so quick. I'm going to totally disagree with you.
Okay.
Totally. I don't do it on a normal basis, but tonight I'm gonna. You know, it was a bad call. It was awful. I see it.
It's a horrible call.
It was a terrible call, but it didn't ruin the game. This game, if you watched it, it was complete. It was beautiful. It was poetry in motion. It was the throw from Kane to Juan to Pena was outstanding, and the two relievers we just got, it was a practice run. So it was it a bad call? Yes. Did it cause us to lose the game? No. He's looking at the two new relievers he just got, and he has to get them out there to see what he's got to go on for the future. So if the game wasn't totally out of hand, and Pablo Reyes coming up, it was an awful decision. That was horrible.
I agree.
But I'm sorry for getting excited about this. I mean, but it was. I think everybody's got to relax. All we got to do is we're going to win 105 games this year, and we got to knock the NL out of it, and we're going to go after the Dodgers or whatever else comes out of the West.
Well, what cost the game, though, Todd? What cost this game? The call by the home plate umpire, or the Brewers' lack of offense with runners in scoring position? They had opportunities. They didn't come up with the hits.
It was a runner's an opportunity to score, but it wasn't a total loss. It was a good vision of what's going to happen in the future. In the future is beautiful. It's going to be. It really is. I just saw that game, and just if you watch the last few, these guys are poetry in motion. Everything is coming into place, and I think it's going to be a great future. But this game was a throwaway game. It was nothing to worry about. We had to see our two new relievers coming in, and the first guy did pretty well out of Detroit, and the second guy fell apart. But that's
all right. All right, Todd, I got to turn you loose. 799-1250. I don't. You know, again, the call didn't cost the game. You put up a run.
Yeah, it's hard to win when you only score one.
Very difficult to win baseball games. And, you know, the other thing is you're not going to win every game. Now, I will say this, that Atlanta, they know they got to get rolling here. They just made all their acquisitions offensively. This is the final game against Atlanta unless you face them in the postseason tomorrow. I think it is a big game. You can win the series, slow their roll a little bit. You get back on track, get back home to face the Pirates. It sets up a pretty big game tomorrow, despite the fact that you're 19 games over 500. We'll get to Craig Counsell, catch his thoughts on that. And one of the things I really admire about these pro athletes, how Woody and Counsell weren't both ejected from this game is beyond belief. It really is.
They get a lot more patience than I do.
Oh, man. Last time this happened, Counsell did get ejected. Okay, this time he didn't. I think Buckner sort of gave them a little rope there because he knew he screwed it up. All right, we'll hear from Craig Counsell and more as we move along here at Sapella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. 8-1 Brewers fall in Game 2. We'll be back here on The Fan.
Let's find out what happened in today's game from the guys that played it. Let's head inside the clubhouse presented by Windows Select. Right now, buy one, get one free. Plus, no payments for an entire year. Call them today at 262-703-3500.
Well, they'll be better days than this one. An 8-1 Brewers loss, and things just got sideways a little bit mid-game. And to me, again, if you're just tuning in, that's the biggest disappointment for me is, you know, the umpire did affect sort of the vibe of the game, and this was a sort of a playoff-type feel game to me, at least, early on. And, you know, it's one zip Brewers. They play from the lead with a Manny Pena RBI, and it holds right there. Woody, not his greatest performance, I can tell you that. Despite that sixth inning, even before that, he was in and out of some trouble there. The defense picked him up big time with a hose job at the plate. But, you know, he didn't get the chase swings. And when he did, they were fouling him off and just spoiling those pitches. And normally it's a little bit more of a swing and a miss. He was right around 100 pitches in the performance. And you knew early on, 23 pitches in that first inning with just a base hit. I mean, 23 pitches for some of these guys, it would mean that there's a couple of base runners on. Not the case. It was just a two-out base hit by Freeman in that first inning for Woody, and despite that, he ends up, that's the only base runner he had, and threw 23 pitches, and you just hate that early on, and, you know, again, that's how good this dude is that on an off night, he can do what he did tonight.
Yeah.
One of these days, Jeff, I'll tell you, one of these days, Woody is going to have something special. And I'm not calling the no-hitter or anything. I'm just saying one of these days, a CG, one or two hits, a shutout on, you know, really 83 pitches or something stupid like that, it's going to happen. Because if he gets contact outs, sky's the limit for Woody.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, he proved it tonight. You know, like you said, it wasn't his A stuff. But he was battling like crazy, and, you know, it did take him a lot of pitches early. You know, it's going to be a short start right off the bat, but, you know, he pitched okay until that missed call, and then the wheels came off.
Yeah, and, you know, it always happens that way. I'm going to go back, and maybe for tomorrow's show, I want to look back, and the last time this happened, there was a similar situation, and I just, normally I would remember something like this with regards to Brewers baseball, but I'll go back and look at my notes. It did happen earlier this year. There was a missed call, and I think a pitch or two later, it was taken out, and I'm pretty sure it was Woodruff. I'm pretty sure it might have been Burns, but I think it was Woody. And that's the, you know, that was the game that heading into a commercial break, I was saying if Council doesn't get ejected here, there's something wrong. And they came back from commercial, and of course he was ejected, so he went crazy. And I just got to look up when and who that was against and what the situation was. But yeah, it did change the complexity of the game a little bit. I think he gets that call, a great shot to get out of it. And then who knows? It's 1-1. The whole landscape is a little bit different. And maybe Council has a few different pitching moves, and who knows? You just never know. But, again, on top of this, let's not discount the fact that you put up a run. You had opportunities. You hit into some bad luck. They made some pretty decent defensive plays on you. You had some deep shots that, on a different night may have gone out. And that would have changed things. So just one of those nights. Let's we're going to hear from Woody then?
Yeah.
Is that where we're going here? All right, let's hear from Brandon Woodruff to see if he has cooled off a little bit.
Yeah, Woody, I might as well get to the obvious one. Swanson stepped across the plate on that 1-2 pitch, and he knew that usually tells you that the hitter knows he was struck out, but it wasn't called, and that's on a home run. You obviously were not pleased with that development.
Yeah, I mean – there's a lot of things I want to say, but that I probably should not say right now. And I think that's what I'm going to do is I'm not going to say some stuff. But, I mean, when I don't know how I want to phrase, I mean, I should have done a little bit better job of controlling my emotions there. And I thought I did an okay job. I think that was the right pitch. I threw the next pitch. It was so in such a bad location that he had time to adjust to it. And I don't regret throwing that pitch. But I thought there was earlier in the game, I thought there was a couple pitches that were pretty good that weren't called. And then, it's disappointing. Because you're out there and you're trying to give your team a chance to win. You're trying to do your best on the mound. Manny, all the fielders in the field are doing their best. The relay at home, that's an unbelievable play. And then it just kind of seems like it's almost kind of just taken away from you a little bit. And you know what? That's part of the game. That's part of it. You get over it and move on to the next one. This game's hard enough. And I know it's hard umpiring games. I understand that. But I think just in that moment in that situation and in that point in the game, that can't be missed. It is what it is. I made a bad pitch. The next pitch, it got hit out. My night was done, but, yeah, you got to move on, but it's disappointing for sure.
Brandon, on that slider, the next pitch, where was the location intended?
Down and away, and it just kind of spinner, one of those I didn't really get in front of, and just kind of spun right in the middle of the plate. And you know what? He's a good hitter, and that's what good hitters do. Is when you make a mistake, that you pay for it. And I thought the whole night I just wasn't really in sync in terms of my delivery and stuff. And I thought it was just a bit of a fight. And I think right there, just kind of got under the baseball a little bit and wasn't able to really get out front and get that extra bite to allow it to get down and away. And it just kind of spun middle. So.
Woody, you had talked about the relay play and Craig said last night that when your guys' defense is as good as what it has been, he said, you know, you're just a team that's really tough to score on. Like, yeah. How much was that an example of how the defense can help you out back there?
A ton. When that ball was hit, I thought it had a chance to get out. And then when I saw it come off that brick and Avi came up and threw the ball in. And honestly, at the time, I didn't see who, because I took off running to back up the play. I didn't see who threw it in, but Colton did. And just a really good throw. And that's such a major league play right there. And that's kind of the difference, man. These guys, they're so good. And that was really a momentum booster right there, because then I get out of it. You know, I had Freddie come up, and that's a tough at bat. He's one of the hottest hitters in baseball right now. And so it's tough. And then I was able to get that out. So, and get out of that inning, and, you know, had some momentum going, but things just didn't work out, you know, our way. And it just kind of went the other way.
Woody, we've asked you this before, but I want to check in with you again on it. Are you still doing a good job, you think, of blocking out the general lack of run support you've been getting? Because it's still going on.
Yeah, I honestly, Tom, I hadn't thought about it. When I'm out there pitching, there's one thing on my mind, and that's to go out there and make pitches and focus in. I can't worry about. Obviously, I have a part to play in the offensive side of it, but my real job is to go out there and get outs. And you know what? I had the team scored one run, so I had a run to play with. And you know, they got one back, and it was a 1-1 game. And you know, I thought the sixth inning was going to be a huge inning to get through, and just wasn't able to do it. But you know what, we're playing as a team, we're playing such good baseball, and it's just, you can't win them all. And sometimes you have calls go your way, sometimes you don't, but that's part of it. But I think tonight was a tough one. I think that one was kind of, it was just tough, man. And it sucks, because we're playing good baseball, and for something to happen like that, just kind of, I don't know, bugs me a little bit, but that's okay. Yeah, I'll get over it. Tomorrow's a new day.
Let's find out the play of the game. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video. Home entertainment and smart home technology simply done right. Check them out at abcaudiovideo.com. On the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
Well, the Brewers get tested tonight as they fall 8-1. This one gets away, and Woody, you just heard him there that, you know, you can't miss that call. I think that was the remark that caught my ear. You just, in that situation, you can't miss that call.
Well, he made a business decision, and a good one for his pocketbook, by not saying anything about how bad it was. He, I'm sure Mrs. Woodruff is happy.
Yeah, no question. He keeps and retains a little bit of his money, because, again, there's that patience that, you know, there's just no way I would be able to do that. It's just way too emotional for me to say, dude, are you kidding me? There's no way. You're horrible. That was a horrible call. The league office should take a look at you. This isn't the only call that you've ever screwed up. How do you miss that call? You were right over the top of it. You were set up on that side of the plate on top of it. What were you thinking? Give me some reason. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you yourself, not the league, not the union, not the umpire union. I want to hear from you. What the hell were you thinking? See how I would get?
Yeah.
There's no chance I would be like Woody, like, take a deep breath, and let me be careful as to what I'm going to say here. Uh-uh. I would have been Milton Bradley on him.
Oh, yeah, me too. I would have blown up in the press conference, but especially out on the field right after it happened. And, you know, and he barked a little bit, but, you know, I would have straight lost it.
No doubt. ABC audio video play of the game here. Now, normally you lose 8-1, I go to the one, but you know, a fielder's choice RBI early in a game. I mean, I don't know.
Doesn't exactly pack a punch.
No, not really. But you heard Sophia Minard from Valley Sports Wisconsin mention the defense. And the defense has been good, guys. It has been. It didn't make a play to get Curtis out of that seventh inning. It was Adames to Escobar. And a great play by Willie, but he probably should have went to second base on the ball. Mm-hmm. Would have been a much easier play. But Escobar couldn't handle it at first, and that, you know, opened the floodgates a little bit. The next batter hits a grand slam. But, I mean, defense, I think, is exciting, and we're starting to see the Brewers, really, the defense shining here as they're winning a bunch of ball games, not only offensively, not only on the mound, but their defense as well.
That is hit well into right field. Garcia looks up. And it bangs off the bricks. Going to third is Peterson, turning third. Heading home, throw to the play. Is it time? Out at home is Jock Peterson.
Oh, how many times are we going to see that in this series? They almost got thrown out at home plate with nobody out last night. Pretty close play. How about the throw from Avi Garcia from right field? Wow.
On Valley Sports Wisconsin. Wow is right, and we're starting to see some of the defense just shine. And David Stearns knew that coming in, that you pick up Colton Wong, the Gold Glover, you've got Lorenzo Cain, a Gold Glover, you've got Jackie Bradley Jr., a Gold Glover. Ain't nothing wrong with Avi's defense out there. Willie Adames, a plus defender. Luis Urias has been really stepping up defensively. Now, you recall earlier in the year had his problems throwing the baseball, but that was mainly from the shortstop position. So he's been a big-time improvement. Omar has been better than advertised both last year and this year defensively. So you know, you really do have a good defensive club here, and I think the metrics spell that out as well. Okay, something to think about during the break here. There's been, over the course of many years of talking with you guys about various topics, whether it's on the Brewers or just sports in general, there's been this, and I've always been puzzled by this, on how, I'll give you an example. New England Patriots had an opportunity to go, what, 18-0, 19-0? I think it would be 19-0. Taking it off the sheet, undefeated in the regular season, undefeated obviously in the playoffs, and win the Super Bowl to have a perfect season. And a lot of people had said, when a team gets on a roll like that, that, you know, it's nice to just knock down and lose prior to, and that way you do the push. Know what I'm saying, Jeff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, you've got in football, you've got a 9-game winning streak into the playoffs, and you're like, oh man, are they going to be able to win every game? Maybe they should have lost right 3 games. And then when they do lose 3 games prior to the playoffs, I think a large contingent of the fan base will say, you know, that's not such a bad thing. That's not such a bad thing. They got it out of the way, right?
Right.
I wonder, using that concept, using that theory, the way Corbin Burnes pitched last night and the way Woody pitched now, whether or not that falls into place with that theory, where how good can they be and for how long? You know, maybe it's better to be tested now with 2 months to go rather than hit a little skid in, you know, late September or, gosh forbid, beyond that. So I wonder if some people are saying, you know, Woody and Burnes, they weren't going to be sub-2 ERA guys all season long. So they need to get tested. They need to get humbled a little bit, and then they need to get the fire back for the stretch.
Yeah, you know, and this is a hell of a team that they're facing. And, you know, the thing was last night, you know, Burnes gives up 4 right off the bat, but then the offense came back and picked him up. You know, the pitching carried him for – you know, up until this point, about 80% of the season so far. And it was nice that the offense bailed them out last night. They weren't able to bail out Woody and that bullpen tonight. But, you know, they're not going to win them all. But this is, you know, they're still facing one hell of a team.
To face a little adversity, I think, is what we hear a lot in our conversations. To face a little adversity may not be a bad thing when you're trying to win the championship.
There's just so many guys on Atlanta I don't like.
Oh, I know.
Like Ozzie Albies, that guy drives me crazy.
Dansby Swanson. You just hate his name.
I know.
First of all.
I know.
I mean, that we'll just start right there. Duvall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Freddie Freeman.
He has called at the time Miller Park a little league field.
Yeah. Nice guy.
Yeah. Super nice guy. Let's see here. Who else on that team? Stephen Vogt. I think he's got the Ben Gamel syndrome. Where just every time you face a mediocre player, which is what Stephen Vogt is, let's face it.
Yeah, but man, he built himself one heck of a fan base when he was here. There were some definite Vogt heads out there.
No doubt. And I can tell you this about Stephen Vogt. That dude will be a manager in the big leagues one day.
Absolutely.
Guaranteed. 100% guaranteed. He will be a manager in the big leagues. I look forward to that. He seems to square up a baseball every time he faces the Brewers. A couple times a game. It's just crazy how that works. But you're right, Jeff. Atlanta's a good offensive team. And they're a challenge. And they were talking about that on the flagship as well. Levering and Grindle were talking about, hey, you know, there's no breather in this lineup. And, you know, when they were talking about that, I thought the same thing about the Brewers. The Brewers' offense is rolling. They are rolling. But when you take out guys that are rolling like Tellez, guys that have been rolling all year long like Omar Narvaez, and you replace them with the Manny Pinas, I just – there are breathers in this Brewers lineup a little bit. There kind of are. And I hate saying it that way, but – I'd go with the guns offensively. I'd ride that hot hand. That's what I'd do. You guys know me. I'd go a five-man rotation, and we're going full bore, A lineup every night unless you're hurt. That's just the way I roll. Now, again, Craig Counsell, vehemently against that.
Yeah.
I mean, he will argue that all day long, that this is about the long haul. This is about 7 months of baseball, not six. And, so far, so good. I can't argue with it. It's 19 games over 500. And we'll check that Mets red score for those of you scoreboard watching in the NL Central. And speaking of which, we'll hear from Craig Counsell. That's next here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway after an 8-1 loss.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
What was the deal with the lineup? Why did he make that bullpen move? Why did he pinch hit with that guy? Time to get all of those questions answered and more with Scoop from the Skipper. Brought to you by Scholze Family Beef. Treat your grill to quality pasture-raised beef from their family farm. Just go to ScholzeFamilyBeef.com. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
Yeah, guys, the Brewers fall 8-1 tonight. This one got away from them mid-game, and a bad call certainly doesn't help, but not getting any hits with runners in scoring position. Now, leaving, 10 men left on base in the game. I mean, you're not going to win games scoring one run, leaving all those guys on base. So that, to me, was the key here. And you know, you're going to have a rough offensive day. That's frustrating. You know who else frustrated? And I love it. It's the Cincinnati Reds. I mean, think about what they're going through. They're playing good baseball. They're playing some winning baseball here. And they look at the scoreboard, too. And they look up every time they win. Oh, those damn Brewers. They keep winning. And Brewers fall in a stray game here tonight, and so do the Reds. So those of you, you know, scoreboard watching like me, Brewers still 7-game lead heading into the final 2 months of the 2021 championship season. Mets over the Reds in extras tonight, 5-4 the final. All right, let's check the pulse on Craig Counsell tonight as the Brewers fall 8-1.
Craig, I just was going to ask your view of that two-pitch sequence where Woody doesn't get the call he wants, Swanson looks struck out, and then it looked like he, you know, he told us he wasn't happy at all with the slider that followed for the home run. Is that just, is it natural for a pitcher to lose a momentary focus?
Well, I mean, the guy hit a home run. So, I mean, the hitter did a nice job. I mean, it was strike three. I think the hitter told us that too. And then, you know, give Swanson credit. He Woody made a pitch he didn't want to make, and the guy hit, and Swanson hit a home run. So, I give Swanson credit, you still got to hit the pitch, and I don't think it was Woody made the best pitch he could make, but, the guy did a lot with it.
Craig, I think what frustrated Woody even more from just talking to him is he had to battle so much, and he was succeeding with his battle. You know, he wasn't as good as he can be, but he kept them to one run until that swing.
Yeah, I mean, they did a nice job against him. I think, it was a situation to me where they didn't give him any easy at-bats. They didn't give him easy innings. I agree that he was battling. I thought they did a nice job against him tonight and hit a bunch of foul balls. And he just didn't get quick outs like we've seen him getting. And it wasn't because of the lack of quality. They did a nice job. So I think from Woody's perspective, you're right though. He's got 16 outs. He's two outs away there. He's getting to the end. And he had close to putting up six innings, one run, or 5 2/3, one run. And, you know, at the end, the other guy's trying to get you, and Swanson did.
Craig, what do you think made their starter Mueller so good? It looked like his breaking stuff was –
I thought his slider he gave us some problems. It was almost we didn't get many good swings against it. It was almost doing kind of different things on each one. It was a good pitch for him. He was very effective with that pitch, used it frequently to the right-handers, and then, you know, got swings and misses in the zone, which is a little rare on a slider. Usually you kind of make it strike to ball, but he did a good job getting swings and misses in the zone and takes on the backdoor side. So the slider was the pitch that I thought was he used effectively.
Craig, when they broke the game open, why do you think Willie went to first on that play? Is it just because after the dive that play is just happening very quickly?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what happens. I think he thought he knew he hadn't, you know, when you dive like that and you lose sight of second base as he's spinning, I think he knew he thought he knew he had an out at first base with the right throw, and he did. It's just there was an easier out at second base, but I think when he dove, you kind of lose, is that out there? Is Colton there? You know. So he tried to go to first and just threw a little wide.
Craig, was that just a tougher one for Escobar on that one? He had the pick earlier in the game as well.
Yeah, I mean, he made a great attempt at it. I thought he did about as good as you could possibly do. It just squirted out at the end. I thought it was a great play, really. For a second, I thought he had it. Just popped out of his glove at the end. It was a great effort.
Craig, what did you think of the pick he made in the first inning on Austin Riley?
I mean, he did great there. I mean, I thought he did, you know, there was, it wasn't, the cutoff, he was there for a cutoff throw on, anyway, that was with Woody, I believe, a pop up. And he did everything right. It was a good first day. I think it was a really good first day.
Craig, you mentioned last night how great your your outfield defense has been, and that relay from Avi to Wong to the plate. I mean, it had to be perfect, absolutely perfect to get him, and that's what it was. And I mean, your outfield defense has just been tremendous.
Yeah, it was. I think, you know, Avi probably hasn't got enough credit this year for the defense that he's played, and he's played really good defense. And those are the kind of plays that keep you in a game and give you a chance and give you like one more opportunity. And it was got Woody through that. I think that was the fifth, right? Got Woody through the fifth and set us up pretty good. But we had some opportunities tonight too. They were kind of two out opportunities, first and second, bases loaded, just the bottom. You know, we got a bunch of guys on, didn't get that next hit earlier in the game.
What's on tap for the crew? What pitcher starts the next one? It's time for some forward thinking on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
Well, there he is, Craig Counsell. The answer to Escobar's play at first, or Willie's play to Escobar, is, hey guys, let's slow down here a little bit. That's the man's first professional game at first base. We're gonna have plays like that. Next question.
Yeah,
I mean, what do you expect out of him? Come on,
cut him some slack.
No doubt. Now the good thing about that is, and I heard Adam McKelvey earlier with regards to the presser with Woodruff, Jeff, is that this is the kind of analysis I love. And you get that with a good baseball team. And that is, you're talking about specific plays. You're not talking about just the general, you know, stat line, or, you know, how did he look out there to you? You're literally, you know, breaking down a particular play. That to me is playoff type baseball. Those types of conversations. Now, again, this one got away from you. It's an 8-1 final. But in those moments, this was a pretty good baseball game. It was. And the fact that we have to, you know, split hairs on a 2-2 slider that the home plate umpire missed, I love that. I absolutely love that part of baseball analysis when it comes to a good baseball team and a team that is expecting a deeper run. As I said, it's going to be August tomorrow. We get a benchmark here today as we get to flip a whole month off the calendar now. Now we've got the final two, four in the books, spring training in the books, opening days, and, you know, the name change at American Family Field, and, you know, what acquisitions were done in the offseason, all of that in the books. As you get the first month, they struggle a little bit offensively, but the pitching starts to come around. May hits, and the offense is still struggling. Injuries are piling up, but the pitching is still really good. They make a trade. Willie Adames steps in. Cancel that, because you now turn the page to June. June 1st hits. More injuries. But now you start hitting the baseball. Still pitching is good. You get to July. You get to the All-Star break. Stumble into the break a little bit. Get out of the break, and you've won 9 of 13 out of the break, and you're hitting the daylights out of the baseball. We now wonder what August is going to bring, and that starts tomorrow. And we've got game three after the last pitch. You make the switch. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Anderson on the hill for the crew, 3-5, 3.8 ERA. Morton on the hill for Atlanta, 10-3 mark and a 3.72. They've got their hands full again tomorrow, but I think you see a lot of ground balls. Defense is going to have to play tomorrow with Brett Anderson on the hill. And all right, that's going to do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow. August 1st is tomorrow, guys, and we'll turn the page and start the final push here. For Jeff Rolaski, my name is Tim Allen. You guys have a great night. See you tomorrow. And remember, despite the outcome, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back. Yeah.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.